see, as we read, how the Lord speaks of his Sabbath and obedience to all of his law so closely, synonymously, and how he speaks of the Sabbath day and keeping covenant with him synonymously. So I want you to see that as we read. Let's give attention to Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. Since the reading of God's most holy and precious word, let's pray together once again. Father, we thank you for the gospel truths here in Isaiah, that it would be right to say the gospel, the good news according to Isaiah, because Lord, surely we see your salvation revealed, your promises foretold, that Christ was coming, that Christ was the one who was going to give the eunuch offspring in an everlasting name. He was the one who was going to give the nations a place forever in his people, those not called as his nation, as his people, given a place. And here we stand, Lord, people who are fruitful because of Christ, people who are no longer foreigners and cut off because of Christ. And so, Father, feed us by your good news in the book of Isaiah here this evening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we continue and perhaps conclude our sermon series through the Westminster Confession of Faith. I know we didn't finish the entirety, but again, perhaps we'll be closing the book for a time on the Westminster Confession of Faith, ending here with chapter 21, the final two sections of 21, dealing with worship and the Sabbath day. And so here we see the Sabbath day in sections 7 and 8 of Westminster Confession, chapter 21. So listen now as I read section 7, and then I'll read 8. As it is the law of nature that in general, a due portion of time be set apart for the worship of God, so in his word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment binding all men in all ages, he has particularly appointed one day in 7 for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. Just to point out a few things before we read section 8, notice the confession says the light of nature reveals we are to worship. It doesn't just say we are to rest. It says the light of nature reveals that there is a God who is to be worshipped. And then in his word, by special revelation, not just general revelation, not just the light of nature, but in his word, we see the specific command. We are to reverence one day in 7, and since the resurrection of Christ, that is Sunday. Here we are, the Sabbath day. Then, section 8. This Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe and holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. Just to point out, I'm not going to comment on it in the sermon, but notice that we are to refrain from all of our own works, words, and thoughts, all of our worldly pursuits, so that we might focus on God's works and God's words and God's thoughts on this day and have sacred employments of our time, holy employments of our time on this day. Well, as we unpack Isaiah chapter 56 and Westminster Confession 21, the point that we have before us is that you are to keep the Sabbath as a blessing, to rest, and to keep covenant with your God. You're to keep the Sabbath as a blessing. It is given to you as a blessing. And you are to do so to rest and to keep covenant with your God. So we'll unpack that as we move along. Well, first, the Sabbath is a blessing. Notice in our passage here, verse 1 states the theme of our passage when it says, "Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed." And God is saying, you people, keep my commandments, but not only just keep my commandments outwardly. When it's saying keep justice and do righteousness, it's saying be conformed to the pattern of my law in heart as well as outward deed. So don't miss the heart of the matter is essentially before us. And why is it that we are to keep his commandments, not only outwardly, but to get to the heart of the matter? Why is that? Because salvation is about to come and righteousness is to be revealed. We were talking I was praying, but we've already mentioned it, that this is a picture of Christ, that salvation is to be revealed and righteousness from heaven is to be made manifest. How is it that we can have righteousness? How is it that his righteousness in the fullest sense was revealed? It was revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So this is speaking to the gospel that at this point in time when the text was written was yet to come. So Isaiah is saying, get ready, Old Testament church, because Messiah will be revealed. Righteousness, which is necessary for salvation, is being provided for you. Therefore, keep covenant with me. And then we see kind of the modifying principle of the rest of the verses that we focus on found in verse 2. And it says this, blessed is the man who does this, the son of man who lays hold on it. And what is it that we're blessed if we lay hold of it? We're blessed if we do what? Well, it's if we lay hold of this salvation, we lay hold of this righteousness, but how is that done? It's revealed then in the second part of verse 2. The person who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. So blessed is the man who keeps covenant with me, and that looks like keeping the Sabbath and obeying God's law and avoiding disobedience. But there's a Hebrew parallelism here in verse 2 that the author is setting up, that the Sabbath stands, keeping the Sabbath, not defiling the Sabbath, stands in parallel with keeping your hand from doing any evil. And so keeping the Sabbath is depicted here in our passage as representative, the representative command, if you will, of keeping the other commands, of keeping covenant with Christ. And then the author launches into the two categories of people who think themselves cut off from God's salvation, who think themselves cut off from God's righteousness, who think themselves cut off from God's covenant. And that is the son of the foreigner and the eunuch. So it's not just the foreigner, it's even one step further removed as the son of the foreigner. Those marginalized in the church, those who are the outcasts of Israel, if you would see that phrase in verse 8. And those who think they are afar off from God, God says, guess what? Foreigner, you don't get to speak as though you're cut off. And eunuch, you don't get to say that you are a dried up tree. You are not allowed to talk that way, because you who think that you are not gathered, I will gather, and I will make my house a house for all the nations, and I will bless even those who are not fruitful physically. I will bless them spiritually. So those who think themselves not blessed, if you keep covenant with the Lord, you are blessed more than you can imagine. And we'll see that blessing in just a moment. But first, to put this in terms of a modern concept, those who feel distant and removed, those who feel cut off from God. You know, we don't think in terms of eunuchs and foreigners in our day and age. So how do we put this in a modern context? Those who feel marginalized in the church, those who feel distant from God, you who've not been raised in a Christian home and therefore feel like second-class citizens in the church, you who don't have many passages of Scripture memorized and struggle with the contents of the Bible and keeping it all straight, you who are single and therefore feel marginalized and feel less than useful in the RP church because the RP church tends to overemphasize marriage and families and somewhat devalues singles. You who feel sidelined by life circumstances and unable to give as much as you'd like to give and therefore don't feel as included in the people of God. You who are infirmed, or you who feel yourself not as intelligent as others. You who feel like you can't contribute as much to the kingdom of God. You who came through the jail ministry. Whatever we could put in there. You who feel yourself cut off and somehow less than a full member of the covenant community. Hear this. You are blessed by your God more than you can imagine if you keep covenant with Jesus. If you walk in faith, don't let anyone marginalize you. Don't feel less than a full member of the Church of Jesus Christ if you have placed your faith in Christ. You are blessed more than you can imagine. And he speaks in such a way in verse 5, you eunuch who think that sons and daughters, the most important thing, to have a name for yourself, I will bless you even more than that. And you, foreigner, who think that you're afar off, well, I will bring you into my house. I will make you joyful, verse 7, in my house of prayer. I'll receive your burnt offerings. You will be accepted at my altar, because my house is specifically a house for all of you. And the nations, verse 8, that are not yet chosen by God and gathered by God, you'll be included too. Gentiles are enfolded into the covenant. For the Old Testament saint, this is radical. This is incredible blessing. The Old Testament mindset would be shocked by that. God is saying, I'm going to bless you more than you can ask or imagine. And in all of that, the blessing is tied to keeping the Sabbath day. The way the text talks is that keeping covenant with God and keeping the Sabbath day are stated throughout this passage as parallel ideas. Holding on to God's law and loving Him and obeying His commandments and not breaking His desires is put in parallel with keeping the Sabbath day throughout our passage. Notice verse 4. To the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths and chooses what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. You see the parallel thought. The Sabbath stands in parallel there. In verse 6, all the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. Again, holding fast the covenant and not defiling the Sabbath stands in parallel. If you keep the Sabbath, you will be bountifully blessed, is the picture here. More than you can ask or imagine, I will provide for you. You think you have fears and doubts and concerns. Keep my Sabbath, keep covenant with me. Now, why is the Sabbath elevated so highly in our passage here? It's because the Sabbath represents a lot. It represents rest, first and foremost, because that's what it literally means. Sabbath means rest. It's a day of rest. But it means, it represents prioritizing God. It's His day. It's His worship. And so therefore, it's a picture of us not seeking our selfish desires, not seeking our own interests, but seeking Him. Choose what pleases me, verse 4 says. It also represents worship. Obeying chiefly what the Lord has created us for to glorify Him. That's the picture of verse 7. That as we keep the Sabbath, we're doing these activities that belong to the Sabbath day and glorifying and worshiping the Lord. It also represents a recognition of sin because He says here in our passage, then you'll bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. Well, that takes place on the Sabbath day chiefly, or we could say ultimately, and so therefore the Sabbath is a recognition that we are sinners and we need forgiveness of sin, and therefore Sabbath is a remembrance of the gospel. And even though I've already made this point, Sabbath is representative of covenant keeping. And so what takes place on the Sabbath day? You're reminded of your sin, you're reminded of the gospel, and you're reminded of your covenant keeping God. What God has done to address your sin. It's forgiveness pronounced. It's you coming and saying you will purpose after new obedience. And yet God is saying, even though you fail, I keep covenant with you. I renew covenant with you every Sabbath day. So do we see why the Sabbath and keeping covenant is so closely connected in our passage? To keep Sabbath is to be a covenant keeper. To not keep Sabbath is to defile the covenant and to reject all those things that the Sabbath day represents. So do you see why it's a day of blessing? Do you see why it's a day not to be missed? Do we want to say to our God, Lord, please don't bless me like this. Please don't grant me these good and gracious gifts. Don't give me a vacation day each week for you and me, O God, to spend time conversing, that we get to hear from you, from your word, and we get to talk to you in prayer as your people. Please don't ask me to prioritize you and your desires by way of thanks for redeeming me. I'd really just rather prioritize me and my wants and my desires that please me more than you please me, even though you promise greater blessing than I can imagine. Please don't remind me of my position in Jesus. Please don't promise me salvation week after week despite my ongoing perpetual sin. Just let me have my sin. It's far more entertaining. It's far more enjoyable. We don't talk like that, do we? But to reject the Sabbath day is to communicate that very thing. God, I don't desire your blessing. It's a day given for blessing, but it's a day given for rest. I already mentioned that. I said that Sabbath means rest. God gifts us with rest. The confession says that the light of nature reveals that we need not just rest, but we need worship. But the light of nature reveals that we need rest. If you work 7 days straight, you will burn out. If you don't rest yourself, you will wreck yourself, to borrow a phrase from Kevin DeYoung. But the confession says more than we just need rest. We need worship. We need to rest for the sake of worship. But the majority of the Christian world says, we just need one day off in 7. That's really all we need. We just need to take a day off. Even the world recognizes that, by the way. But the broader Christian community says the Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ. So just so long as you're finding some rest and some time to spend God, just take some time off, take some time for God, and if that's Friday, if that's Tuesday, whatever, it doesn't matter. No day is more special than any other. But that's not how the confession speaks. There is one day that is set apart for worship, and it is set apart for religious rest, for your blessing. And so what does it mean then to rest in such a way? What does it mean to rest in a religious way? What is religious rest? Well, it means to cease from your normal labors. God is saying, take a vacation day from normal. And we say, no thanks, I'd rather work. But what is work? Work is anything that you do on the other 6 days that is normal. So then people respond to that and they say, well, okay, I'm a stay-at-home mom. My job is to take care of the house. What level of housework is considered work? Or I'm a student. How much effort could I put into being a student without violating the Sabbath day? These questions arise, right? Because we want lists. We want laws laid down. We want boundaries drawn so we know where we can fit in and where we can be comfortable. But even though we say we don't like the law, we want our pastor to preach us law, preach to us so that we can have easier circumstances to know how to draw these boundaries. But here's wisdom's way. Cease from your normal activities and prioritize spiritual and religious activities. That is what it means to cease from your normal pursuits. And so then what do we fill our day with? We fill our day with finding rest in Christ alone, reflecting on Christ and his gospel and worshiping him publicly and privately and families and individually. And so the confession summarizes it this way. Observe a holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. So let me ask you some questions, friends. Are you resting on the Sabbath day from your normal pursuits? Whatever your normal pursuits are. Are you prioritizing worship? Are you prioritizing the day as a blessing and a delight? Or do you just see it as a law and something that you have to do? I've used this illustration several years ago, but I think it's very fitting. Do you view the Sabbath day like a vacation with your spouse at a lakeside cottage? That your spouse says, I've booked the place. I've taken care of it. We're going to get away for a couple of days. No work, nothing to do. We just want to relax together and speak of our love for one another. And how do we respond? Do we say, honey, I'd rather clean the house. I'd rather watch the game, thank you very much. Or I'd rather work. God offers you a day off for your spiritual blessing, that we might delight in him. A day of spiritual rest. And it's also a day for keeping covenant with your God. I've made the point several times that our passage equates covenant keeping and Sabbath keeping here. It's using them in parallel. It's not just that the Sabbath day stands as a summary of God's law. It's not just a representative command here. But in verse 4, as I pointed out in verse 6, just to read verse 6 again, the salient point, it says, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. The passage is clearly placing these two things in parallel. Now, why is this covenant keeping to keep the Sabbath day? Well, first, it's doing what pleases God. To take one day in seven and do exclusively what God wants is to recognize his lordship. It's called the Lord's Day for a reason. It's his day. It's not our day. It is taking upon us willingly his yoke, which is easy, and his burden that is light. It is receiving willingly his desires, and it is voluntarily bowing down before our King. He is Lord, he is God, and he says, this is the day that I've given you for a blessing, and we must bow. That is covenant keeping. We will keep his day. We will live the way he wants us to live. And in saying that he gives us this and he expects us to live in that way, that doesn't contradict our blessing. That doesn't contradict our enjoyment, because God has commanded the best path of life. He's commanded, I want what's best for you. And here it is. I've laid it out. And yet that can sound like a parent speaking to a teenager. I just want what's best for you. Don't you know I just want what's best for you? Why won't you just listen to me? And how does the teenager respond? They chafe, right? I don't want you to rule my life. And the teenager in our hearts responds to God's blessed day when he says, this is what's best for you. And we say, hey, don't tell me what I can and can't do. Well, friends, parents can be wrong, but God can't. He has commanded the best way. But secondly, why this is covenant keeping is because it's a direct connection to covenant keeping itself, because on the Lord's Day, we express our worship. We express our willingness to be committed to the covenant. God expresses his covenant promise. We express our failings to his law. He expresses that he keeps covenant for us in the proclamation of Christ. I've done everything necessary to keep covenant for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we express afresh our willingness to obey him. And then he promises his help and his aid, that we might walk according to his assistance by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Sabbath day, more than any other time, is that day that the Lord covenants with his people and recovenants with his people and recovenants with his people, so that he brings us to his holy mountain and he makes us joyful in his house of prayer and he receives our burnt offerings and they will be accepted on his altar, and his house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. This is the activity that surrounds covenant keeping and covenant renewal and so forth. It's a time of blessing in covenant renewal. But we live in a day and age, friends, when the word covenant is thrown around all the time. So we lose sight of the value of the word covenant. There's excellent software titled Covenant Eyes, but it's software, it's covenant. There's a transportation company in Indiana, Covenant Transport. There are covenants that are signed in businesses today regularly. You know, sign this covenant. Even housing HOAs have covenants now that you have to sign. We are referred to as the covenanters because of the national covenants our forefathers committed to in bygone times. And that's fine to use the word covenant in such a general way, but I don't want us to lose sight of what it means to have covenant renewed with Christ. God has made a covenant that is perpetual through all time and through all generations of those who trust in his name. And this is what he is renewing week after week with you, proclaiming to you week after week that the seed of the woman will tread on the seed of the serpent. And I will make covenant with you and your offsprings and increase your numbers, and you will be a blessing to all the nations. And I will set a king on the throne forever who will rule and reign graciously over my people. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And this is the covenant in my blood. And this is the covenant of grace that God has made with his people in Christ throughout all times and every week. He reaffirms that covenant with you. With you, friends. Every week, you who break covenant with him, if that were possible. We break covenant with him every moment of every day if covenant were to be kept in our own strength. You who were to break covenant with him in thought, word, and deed every second of every day. He declares, week after week, I keep covenant with you. Why would we ever want to miss that? Why would we not want to relish this renewal and this refreshment each week? Why would we not call that a blessing and a delight? Because we are his covenant people, and this is his covenant day, and he delights in this day, and he says, delight in it with me, my people, to whom I am in covenant, with whom I am in covenant. Friends, why should we keep the Sabbath day? Because it's a blessing. Because it's a day of rest. But it's keeping covenant with your covenant-keeping God. So let us keep covenant with our covenant-keeping God by keeping his Sabbath day, week in and week out, brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, who perfectly keeps covenant on behalf of your people. Because, Lord, if we had to keep covenant, if we had to keep Sabbath and hold ourselves in your hand and keep ourselves faithful to you always in our own strength, Father, we would be the sons of foreigners, and we would be the eunuchs cut off and cast away. But how we thank you that salvation has been revealed and righteousness has been granted from heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, who keeps covenant for us. And Father, as the Lord of the Sabbath, he says, enjoy my day, be blessed by my day, come back every week. Be blessed by this day of Sabbath rest, of reflecting on the person and work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Father, may we call this day a delight. And may you be faithful to your promises, even as we call this day a delight, that you would bless us and bless us abundantly and more than we can ask and imagine. Father, we trust you. We believe you. Would you use your Sabbath day to bless your people here in Lafayette, all the more. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn to Psalm 38 again? This time, selection C. And this psalm still kind of ends with Messiah being cut off without the answer to the prayer of verse 22, the final stanza there, stanza 13. Hurry, come at once to help me, O Lord, my Savior be. And we know that prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ is answered.